Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Congress has recessed for the month after passing a wide-ranging bill on health care, climate change, and taxes. It would reduce the cost of prescription drugs for the elderly, encourage the development of renewable energy sources, and require most corporations to pay a minimum federal tax of 15%. NPR's Kelsey Snell reports the legislation cleared the House and the Senate without any Republican support.
Democrats did pass this bill entirely on their own. No Republicans in the House or Senate voted for this bill. And a lot of it was just legislative work, the way bills come together. They negotiated and worked on policies, many of which took years. And, you know, senators were far more willing to kind of come together on these long-term big changes to policy when they had time to work it out together and through the committee process.
NPR's Kelsey Snell. The family of 20-year-old Vanessa Guillen, who was killed by a fellow soldier at Fort Hood in Texas 2 years ago, is suing the federal government. Texas Public Radio's Jerry Clayton has more.
Guillen's family is suing the U.S. government in the amount of $35 million for sexual harassment, abuse, assault, rape, and wrongful death. Guillen's body was found in July of 2020 after going missing for several months. 20-year-old Aaron David Robinson, the soldier who was accused in the case, committed suicide when confronted by law enforcement. In the wake of Guillen's death, a civilian review committee's investigation resulted in 14 U.S. Army commanders and other leaders at Fort Hood being fired or suspended. Guillen's death has sparked a movement to change the way the military deals with assault and harassment, as well as legislation to prevent further misconduct. I'm Jerry Clayton in San Antonio.
Writer Salman Rushdie remains hospitalized after being stabbed in western New York Friday. The attack is front-page news in the UK, which protected him during the years he was under a death threat from Iran. Vicky Barker reports from London.
One hot summer's night in the late 1990s, when it appeared Iran's fatwa against Salman Rushdie had been withdrawn, his longtime protector, the British anti-censorship campaigner Francis D'Souza, threw a dinner party for him that went late into the night.
I think dawn was beginning to break. And we were all sitting around a table and one of them said, "I think there's only one way this thing can end." And it was so chilling to hear that because we all felt that perhaps he's right.
Rushdie, she told the BBC, took the remark in stride. Despite Iran's apparent renunciation of the death threat and his own apology insisting that the satanic verses were never meant to offend Islam, it was a possibility he'd already been living with and would continue to live with for years. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
This is NPR News from Washington. Israeli police are investigating a shooting near Jerusalem's Western Wall early Sunday. They say at least 7 Israelis were wounded. This comes a week after violence erupted between Israel and militants in Gaza that killed 49 people. The German chancellor will visit Canada beginning August 21st. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, Olaf Scholz and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will discuss shared priorities, including support for Ukraine and energy security.
According to Trudeau's office, Scholz and the Prime Minister will visit Montreal, Toronto, and Western Newfoundland. A statement said the two leaders will continue to collaborate on how to safeguard energy security and speed up the transition to clean energy. In Toronto, they will attend a Canada-Germany business forum and take part in a virtual summit over Russia's annexation of Crimea. Trudeau said their countries share a commitment to democracy, peace, and support for Ukraine. Canada had recently faced criticism for returning a turbine to Russia that is used in a pipeline that supplies natural gas to Germany. Ottawa has accused Moscow of weaponizing energy, and Olaf Scholz has already expressed interest in Canada becoming an alternative energy supplier. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Some people who live near Detroit are still being told to boil their water after a water main break this weekend. A rupture in a 10-foot-wide pipeline near a water treatment facility on Lake Huron has raised concerns of bacterial contamination. Crews are working to fix the problem. People in affected communities are being urged to boil their water or use bottled water. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.